Hebrews 13. If you found your place, once you're able, if you're physically able, would you please stand with me? Let me read here the first 9 verses of Hebrews 13. Let brotherly love continue. It means you have to have it first, right? It has to continue. If it's going to continue, it's got to be there. Amen. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversities as being yourself also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen, amen right there. So that we may boldly say, boldly means with all confidence, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. And Brother Evan and I have to remind ourselves of that every Wednesday afternoon. Amen. Verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We'll leave off reading there. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, I pray you'd help me. Lord, please sustain my voice for a little while, Lord God, to help feed this precious flock of yours, Lord, here tonight. Thank you for them being here, coming out of their homes and their places of employment, Lord God. And after a long day, I pray, God, you would work and encourage them. Help us all, Lord God. We need to hear from heaven. I pray, Lord, we would be honoring and blessing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I was looking back in my records, my files, and I've preached 31 messages on the book of Hebrews, amen. And we're just now in chapter 13, but praise God for it. We're at the final chapter of Hebrews. But I don't want you to get too concerned, amen. There's a lot of material in this chapter, okay? Remember the theme of Hebrews, right? Jesus is better. Okay, come on. Jesus
is better.
Okay, let's say it together like maybe we actually believe it, okay? Jesus is better. Amen. Praise the Lord. These Hebrew believers, they'd been saved, like we mentioned, but they were not growing. Look in chapter 5 back there with me, and let's refresh our memories a little bit. It's been several weeks. Had other people here preaching. So Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 is kind of the theme verse of this book. Hebrews 5, verse 12. For the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. What was going on, these brethren, these saved Jews, were being hounded. They were being hindered and literally harassed by their unsaved Jewish friends and family. They had been saved, but they were not growing. They were not, listen, according to verse 5, there was work for them to do, and they weren't doing it. It says in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 12, for the time you ought to be teachers. In other words, there were people that needed them to teach them. There were other people that needed the Christians that had been saved for a while. They needed to be taught. It was time for these folks to be doing some work for God, but they weren't doing anything. They were still needing more teaching themselves. And God desires for us to get to a place, amen, where we can turn around after we've been taught and teach others. That's exactly what this is all about. They've been saved, but they weren't growing because, listen, they didn't understand how much better Jesus was or is than the law that they were used to living under. They didn't understand how much better Jesus is than them trying to earn it and be good and make good things happen. And amen, Brother Evan, doing the sacraments and stuff like that. And so God, in his infinite mercy now, let's not leave out God in this whole thing. In God's infinite mercy, sends them this book of Hebrews. It was a letter back then, but in his mercy, God sends them this letter to rebuke them. Now listen, rebuke them and chasten them and remind them, hey, you're not going in the right direction. And after all, I mean, that's what God does to his children. Isn't that what we just talked about a couple weeks ago? That's what God does. He loves his children, and he doesn't want them to stagnate. He doesn't want them to just sit and soak and sour and all that sulk and all the other things. He wants them to move on, like chapter 6 there in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us, what? Go on unto perfection. He says, I want you to, come on, I want you to leave some things behind that you should know by now. It's not that you forget about them. You just quit dwelling on them and move forward, right? Move forward unto perfection. Jesus, listen now, is better than anything else in this world, and these folks needed to get back on track and stay on track. They needed to get back in the race, and they needed to stay in the race. And so, understand something, just by way of reminder tonight, Jesus is better than anything and everything this world has to offer.
Amen.
You know, there's nothing. I was talking to my wife the other day, and every Christian anyway has valleys, seasons of fear and doubt and discouragement, and things come into your life that winds blow, and your storm is tossed. I mean, your ship is tossed and to and fro, but we have an anchor, amen. And it's many times, here's what you find yourself thinking. You know, it seemed like maybe it was better before, but you know that's not true. The reality is, what's going to happen if your ship may be tossed to and fro, but the only option you have is to ride through that ship knowing you have an anchor.
Yep.
The only option you have is to jump ship. And then what are you going to get? You're going to be in the water, in the storm, on your own. You know, you can have a hard day. You can have a hard time. And can I say something? You will. You absolutely will. This world is full of sin. This world is full of heartache, troubles, and trials. In this world, you shall have tribulation. Jesus said that. But he said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world because Jesus is better. Amen. And I told my wife the other day, I said, you know, I know that I struggle here and there. We all do. But what, I mean, I'm not going to quit. What am I going to do? Go back to the world? I mean, how does that help anything? But these believers, and these Jewish Hebrews believers there, they were struggling. They didn't understand that Jesus really is better than the greatest fortune this world could offer you, the best career this world could offer you, the most popular fame, or anything else this world tosses in your direction. Jesus is better. Some of the messages we preach, just by way of a reminder, we preach Jesus is better than sin. You know, it's sad today, but you still got to preach about Jesus being better than sin. I mean, the world and Satan and our flesh dresses up sin as if it was some glamorous prize for being an idiot.
Yeah.
Did you understand what I just said? And like it's some glamorous, wonderful reward for rebelling against God. Sin, come try it. It's the greatest thing. And listen, that's ridiculous. Jesus is better than the devil. We preach about Jesus being better than the wilderness. We preach about Jesus being better than the new Bibles. Because listen, this is the living word of, the written word of God. Jesus' name is the word of God. This precious book, amen. There's not 200 Jesuses.
Amen.
There's one Bible. Amen. He's better than the priests. He's better than mere compliance. Remember that one? We talked about just going through the motions, just doing what you're told to do. That's not Jesus. Jesus is a living Savior with whom we can have a real relationship. Amen. That's what it's about. Jesus is better than welfare. Maybe you remember that. Jesus is better than sitting at home. I'm going to go back and re-preach some of these. I kind of enjoyed these. Amen. We talked about following Jesus is better. We talked about Jesus' blood is better. We said the red heifer. Remember the red heifer? Amen. The red heifer is better. Jesus is better than the tabernacle. All these things. We preached on a better resurrection, a better hope, a better promise, a better perspective, a better race, a better mountain. Amen. We are talking about Jesus. Everything, everywhere, in every direction, every aspect, every single detail, every little jot and tittle, Jesus is better.
Amen.
Amen. Now tonight, I'm going to begin, emphasis on the word begin. I'm only going to begin this final message on Hebrews from this chapter 13 entitled, A Better Church. A Better Church. Chapter 13, if you want to go back there with me. Chapter 13 is somewhat of a report card. A report card for believers in their fellowship, in their church body. It's kind of a checklist of practical things, practical application to give yourself, amen, an honest grade. In other words, over the last 12 chapters now, God has been preaching and exhorting us to go on unto perfection. Keep moving forward. Get up and move on, amen. Don't sit there and stay there. Now, he told us not to neglect a great salvation. Look in chapter 2. Look in chapter 2 of Hebrews. This is just a brief introduction here tonight. He said in Hebrews chapter 2, at the beginning of the book, the beginning of this epistle, verse 1, therefore, based on chapter 1 talking about who Jesus is and how much better he is than anything and everything, we ought to give, in verse 1 of chapter 2, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Isn't that amazing? That verse still kind of jolts me a little bit there, because even though we've got the greatest thing in the world, we've got the greatest thing in heaven, that's Jesus Christ and the salvation of God Almighty, we can let things slip. You can let things slip. What is the solution to that? We've got to give more earnest heed. We've got to heed what we hear. We've got to heed what we hear. What does that mean? That means we've got to listen on purpose. We've got to give it all of our attention on purpose. We can't let anything slip through our hands, slip past our ears and our mind. Verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. In other words, everybody's going to get exactly what's coming to them. Yeah. Verse 3 says, how shall we escape? God's going to deal with us as his children way more than he's going to deal with angels. He says, how can we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now listen, you could preach that and say, well, that's someone who's here about salvation and doesn't get saved. But he doesn't say reject.
Right.
He doesn't say reject salvation. He says neglect.
Right.
You know what it means to neglect something, right? It's just ignore it.
Yeah.
Just do nothing with it. Like a mother who neglects her children just because she wants to take a nap on the couch, amen? Bad things happen when that happens.
Yeah.
Children get into everything, amen? And then they burn the house down. But see, we can neglect something as great as the salvation that God has given us. We can do that if we don't give earnest heed and let things slip.
Cool.
Our lives can slip. Our hearts can slip. And we've got to not neglect. Well, the word neglect is really key in that verse. Neglect means we can't just ignore what God's done for us. We can't just treat it like it was no big deal. We cannot neglect this precious book. We cannot neglect our living Savior. We cannot neglect the time we need to spend in prayer. We cannot neglect. Whenever we miss a church service, we're neglecting the great salvation. It affects every area of our life. We cannot neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. So to not neglect the great salvation, that's why God gave us this book.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's in chapter 2, by the way. That means these folks were having a hard time not letting things slip. And then it says in chapter 3 over there in verse 12, but exhort one another, which I say daily. I remember preaching on this. This is a long time ago. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you, notice, be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's verse 13. He says, you need to exhort one another daily. You need to be careful to encourage each other daily, because you don't want anyone to be hardened, their heart be hardened, in verse 13, through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ. That's it. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, verse 15, today, if you will hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Understand something. There are a lot of people give up on the Lord, give up on Christianity, give up on truth, give up on Bible, give up on church because they say, well, I just don't hear God's voice anymore. Understand something. The Bible says plainly, if you're going to hear his voice, you've got to be careful not to harden your heart.
Yeah.
A hard heart doesn't hear his voice.
Right.
A hard heart doesn't hear his voice. And it all comes, according to verse 13, from the deceitfulness of sin. Deceitfulness of sin. Verse 12, I failed to read this. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you. Well, that includes the pastor. That includes the Sunday school teachers. That includes everybody. In any of you, there could be an evil heart of what?
Unbelief.
Yep.
Oh, great.
Yep. Unbelief? Mm-hmm. I mean, all I got to do is not believe what the Bible says. That's what it says.
All right. That's right.
An evil heart. God says, if you don't believe me, what do you tell those 10 spies? What did he call their report when they came back from the promised land after 40 days? He called that report, we can't do it. It's too much. God's too little. We're too little. God said, that's an evil report. All it was unbelief.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, we don't have any right to not believe the Word of God. Are you saved tonight? Say amen. Then listen, we don't have any right. Nobody's ever going to tell you it's okay to doubt the book. It's not okay. It is absolutely dangerous. Extremely dangerous. God says it's evil.
Yeah.
And you will, it says you will depart from the living God. What? That you don't lose salvation, but you lose every ounce of fellowship, joy, peace, fruitfulness. Everything goes down the drain when you start doubting the book. See, these folks were having a hard time. But we all go through this. Look in chapter 11. Now we'll skip over a few pages. Chapter 11, verse 6. God's telling them these things are important. Verse 6. You know this verse. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Amen. Okay, God is real. That's a very good start. God is. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is a rewarder. There are rewards waiting in heaven for those who seek the Lord God Almighty with all their heart. But how do I do that? Listen to me. It all starts with faith. I have to live by faith. Faith is not believing what I want to believe. Faith is believing God's word. Taking this book at face value. Listen, the only way I'm going to please God is to live by faith. And according to this, I cannot please him. In other words, I will never glorify him. Never.
Right.
Never glorify him. Forget the theme of Amazing Grace Baptist Church in 2019. This needs to be our life theme. To all, God be the glory for all things. So whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I apologize, y'all. I know my voice sounds terrible tonight. I'm trying to get through this, but y'all pray for me. But without faith, it's impossible to please the God in heaven. Because listen to me, when I'm doing things without faith, I'm doing things in my strength.
Yeah. Right.
You know who I'm glorifying then? I'm glorifying me.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
Boy, that's a terrible thought.
Yeah.
How many times do we glorify me today? Whew. Lord help us.
Amen.
God makes it very clear. He very plain. We cannot please him. It's impossible. No chance without faith.
Right.
Evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God, deceitfulness of sin. But don't you think the devil knows these verses?
Oh,
you better believe it. And God says, listen to me. I'm trying to get you to go on. You got to quit stalling out on these. These are very common problems in our hearts and our lives. And then chapter 12, a few weeks ago, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We talked about how we have a crowd of witnesses in heaven. A better perspective. Remember that one? A better perspective. Hey, it's not just God watching us. It's everybody in heaven watching you. As far as I can tell. Amen. I'm hoping that God shuts the door once in a while. I'm hoping that God doesn't want to let them see everything. But the thing is, the truth of the matter is, we talked about how their hearts are no longer like ours. And they understand things now. They understand their sin nature's gone. It's eradicated forever. And they're in heaven now. They're not God, amen, but they're filled with the Holy Spirit of God continually, without fail. No more flesh. And so they see things differently. And they're in heaven watching us. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It's not about you choosing your race. It's about you running the one God gave you.
Amen.
Amen. We need to run our race with patience.
Yeah.
We need to run our race by looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Listen, that's what I talked about a minute ago. Days are going to come, good and bad. It's going to happen. Some are going to suffer more than others. I can't explain it all. All I know is that's part of your race.
Right.
Yep. That's part of your race. It may not be part of my race. But the fact of the matter is, it's a race that God gave you because He trusted you, because He knew you could do it, because He knew you were able. He knew you were strong enough. Amen. He knew you could make it, or He would have never put it on you to begin with. He put you somewhere. You say, I'm struggling. I'm suffering here. I was out there today with Brother Evan, and I saw this little elderly, I don't know, he looked like an older man. He just, for lack of a better word, he was just in a motorized wheelchair, and there was nothing. He was totally emaciated. He was just a skinny little, looked helpless, invalid. And he could barely, get that little thing turning. And he was just cruising up down the sidewalk somewhere. And I thought, Lord God Almighty, how would I live? How would I act? How would I feel if that was me? Would I glorify you? Would I still love you? Would I still be a gospel witness? Would I be a miserable, bitter wretch?
Yeah. Come on.
And you know what? And I was reminded that the Bible says, amen, that God does not put anything on us, that He does not tempt us above that which we are able.
Amen.
And I began to think, Lord, I don't know if that man was a Christian or not, but Lord, if that man's a Christian and just as saved as I am, his little wheelchair proves you trusted him more than you did me.
Amen.
He's stronger than I am.
Amen.
Boy, that got me under conviction. I was out there preaching to these kids, and all of a sudden I saw that. And God can use something like that.
Yeah.
He did. He did. In my heart. And I realized, Lord, would I glorify you in that thing if that was me? I can't even hardly get her. I don't know where he was going. I mean, is he in classes? I don't know. Is he taking? I don't know. Who knows? But the thing is, I was, God used it to open my heart and think, would I glorify God if I was an invalid?
Yeah.
I know I want to, but I mean, obviously, things like that happen. Now, I don't wish that on anybody here tonight, obviously. But the point is that God gives you what He knows you can handle. And if you respond properly, amen, then you can glorify God far beyond others who are normal, healthy, and strong like me. It kind of beat on me a little bit. I'll be honest with you. It still is, as you can tell. Look in verse 5 of chapter 12. And you have forgotten. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. God says, listen, I want you to run your race with patience. And understand, God said, I know you. I know everything about you. And I know what you need and when you need it. And when I come down on you and chasten you, don't despise it. Don't get upset. Don't bow up against God. He says, listen, He says, I do that because I love you. Because I'm your Father. Then God closes out the chapter 12. He closes out that whole epistle there in chapter 12. And He says something there in verse 28. Chapter 12, verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Now, isn't that a blessing? Don't miss that part. Amen. Nobody's going to take away that kingdom that we got coming.
Amen.
I'm born again. I'm saved. Except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. But I was born again, amen, on May 13th in 2004 in Fort Worth. And listen to me, I'm a part of that kingdom now, glory to God. And it ain't nobody going to take that kingdom away. Amen. We have received. Now, listen, we received it. God gave it. It's a gift.
Amen.
I didn't earn it. I didn't buy into it, amen. I didn't invest anything. I didn't do any sacraments, amen. I received received it as a gift of God, amen, a kingdom which cannot be moved. Nobody's going to take that away.
Amen.
Glory to God. It says, then it says, though, let us have grace. That means we've got to be filled with grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Grace to serve God. Verse 29, for our God's a consuming fire. Let us serve God acceptably. Acceptable service to God always goes, amen, listen to me, through your church. That's God's will.
Amen.
That's God's will. Well, how do I know that? Look at the next verse.
Amen.
Let brotherly love continue.
Amen.
That means you better stick with the brothers and sisters where God
Amen.
Puts you.
Amen.
That's the very first thing he says. If you're going to be serving God acceptably, it's going to be with the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ that God puts you in, and you've got to let it continue. What does that mean? That means it ain't going to be all bright and shiny days. Sometimes it's just going to flat out pour rain. But you need to let brotherly love continue.
Yeah.
You need to remember, hey, you're part of that body.
Right.
Chapter 13 begins with this key verse. Helps us see that this is how we're going to serve God in this brotherly love. Understand something. All churches are not the same.
That's right.
They are not the same. All independent Baptist churches are not the same.
That's right.
Some are good, some are better, amen. Some are dead. Amen. And I want us to understand something here tonight. This chapter, chapter 13, is going to take us a while to get through, but this chapter is going to help us understand how we can have a better church. Listen, we've got a good church. I don't care how big it is. That's not what I'm talking about. We've got a good church that I'm very proud of, and I say that humbly. Is that possible? I humbly say I'm proud of that. But anyway, I'm very pleased. I thank God, put it that way, for this church. I thank God for this body of believers, these brothers and sisters. But understand something, we need to still get better. God's always working in us individually and collectively as a church body so that we can be a better church. Amen. Why? Because a better church will glorify God more. Amen. And we'll get more done for God's glory in this life and in that kingdom which we have received. Which cannot be moved. Glory to God. Amen. So this chapter is full of many different things, principles, guidelines that we must follow in order to have a better church. I think we do. Like I said, I believe we have a great church, but I believe we can get better. I want to have a church that serves God acceptably. Don't you? Amen. I want to have a church body. Now listen, I know everybody's going to be in different places in their spiritual life, but the beauty of it all is we can come together, amen, and we can glorify God together. Okay, together as a church body. That's what I would like. This chapter is full of wonderful instruction and correction. Okay, there's some things in here that are going to be hard to swallow, okay? But it's instruction, it's correction, and it starts with verse 1, Christian love. I mean, that's the foundation. A church cannot, amen, cannot glorify God if there's nothing but strife and contention and division in the body. It's not going to happen, amen. It'll do nothing but split apart, break off, and be devoured. Brotherly love, Christian love. Verse 2, we've got to look at, I'm just going to go through this real quick and then we'll break for prayer. Verse 2, we're going to have to look at comforting strangers. Amen. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. We're looking at Christian love, which is the foundation for that, remember. And then comforting strangers. Now listen, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this later when I get to preaching on that verse. But it ain't talking about you letting every homeless person come into your house and rob you blind and steal all your food. And no, that's not what it's talking about. We'll get more into that later. Amen. But verse 3, compassion. Remember them that are in bonds is bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. There again, we look at the body. We're talking about a church.
Right.
Amen. A church, the body. So there's compassion. There needs to be compassion in that church. Verse 4, marriage is honorable. We're talking about chastity. That's purity, folks.
Amen.
In every sense of the word. Mental, physical, spiritual purity is vital if we're going to have a good godly church. Amen. Verse 5, contentment. Oh, boy. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content. with such things as you have. You know, I was content when we were in our two-car garage 7 years ago. I was content, but I wasn't willing to just stay there. I was letting God lead me, amen. But I was content, and I knew God had more for us, and He did. Look at us now, amen. I'm just saying, we've got to be content with who we have, what we have, knowing that God Almighty is never going to leave us nor forsake us.
Amen.
You start getting discontented. You start getting unhappy with what you have. As a church, now listen, it's a great temptation to look around and say, how come we don't have more this or that, the other? Especially when you start saying, well, how come we don't have more people? Hey, wait a minute, that's discontentment. If we're doing everything God's told us to do, preach the gospel, amen, pray for the lost, tell the world about Jesus, amen, live and glorify God with our own lives, then God will give the increase. Some do plant, some do water, but God gives the increase. But we have to be content, amen, in everything. And so we'll talk about that in another message as well. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man... Listen, that's confidence.
Amen.
Confidence. Hey, listen, I don't need anybody in the world to tell me how to live for the Lord Jesus Christ unless they line up with this book.
Amen.
Otherwise, I love you, I'm going to have compassion on you and all those other things, but understand something, the Lord is my helper.
Amen.
Amen. You can't help me if you're trying to lead me away from the Lord. The Lord is my helper, and I'm going to have, and that's confidence, amen. A church with confidence, by the way, is a church that's going to amen the Word of God.
Amen.
It's going to shout a little bit, going to sing. I mean, they're going to sing when it's time to sing. And there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. I don't have any doubt about that, amen. Man, every bit of confidence in my heart. That's true. There's not a friend in this world.
Yeah.
But you know, when you don't have that confidence, you don't have that song either.
Yeah.
You don't have that praise in your heart. It's important. Verse 7 is commitment. Oh boy. Oh boy. That's a curse word in these days. Verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow.
Yeah.
We're not following ourselves. Amen. God puts leadership in our lives. And we need to be committed. Not to the man.
Right.
But as long as he's following Christ, we need to be committed. It would be a great, a mighty, strong body of believers if everybody was committed to follow who the Lord has given them to lead them.
Yeah.
It's not me. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about the man that God puts here and gives this church. Amen. It's a commitment to follow the one who the Lord has used to reach you, help you. Where are we at now? Verse 8. Obviously, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried away about with diverse and strange doctrines. It's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have occupied therein. Here we're talking about consistency. Consistency. I mean, you know what? Jesus did not vary from one day to the next. Now, I know I just got finished saying about 10 minutes ago, discouragement, disappointment, heartache, doubt, those things come to us. We are sinners. But you understand something? Listen to me. As you grow in Christ, you ought to have less and less of that.
Right.
You ought to be more and more. I had a man ask me not too long ago. He said, how do you always stay so up? He said, how do you every time you preach, you're so upbeat and so excited about God. He said, how do you stay like that? And listen, it's Jesus.
Amen.
It's Jesus. It ain't that I never have problems or never have any, you know, sore throats, amen, or anything like that. It's Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He lives in here, amen. Somewhere in here, He's here. Is He home with you? Amen. Say amen. Listen, well, He's not changing.
Amen.
The more I walk with Him, the closer I walk with Him, the more consistent I'm going to be. Consistency. Consistency. Verse 10 through 14. I don't have time to read all this. Let's just read. We'll read it all here. Verse 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. It ain't the water of baptism that sanctifies you, dearly beloved. It is the precious blood of Jesus. It's right there. Verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, verse 13. Let us, here we go again. This is us now. Let us, it's not just me, it's a church body. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him. Notice, without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. What does all that mean? That means consecration in a word. That means I'm not going to live my life in the world. I'm going to be separated and consecrated unto Jesus.
Amen.
This is what it says right there. It says in verse 13, let us go, because Jesus went outside the walls of Jerusalem, up that mount called Calvary, and they crucified him out there on that hill, outside the walls, outside the camp. And now the Bible says, we're going to go out there too. We're not going to hang out with everybody else. We're going to follow Jesus, and we're going to bear, verse 13, his reproach. See, consecration, all it means is complete yielding and completely separating myself unto the Savior. And sometimes it's going to cause me to face reproach. In other words, scoffing, mocking, scorning. But the Bible says in verse 14, the reason I don't have any problem with that, though, is because I'm not living for this city, amen? I'm living for the one that's to come, amen? The heavenly city. I'm not living for this city. I'm living for the one that's going to come out of heaven, amen? That new Jerusalem, glory to God, with those streets of gold. I'm not living. It's okay that the world can give me some hard time, but I'm going to consecrate my life unto Jesus.
Amen.
You understand, a church, we're talking about church, a better church. A church as a whole ought to exemplify that every time we come together. There ought to be a spirit among these people right here. Listen, if we don't have a consecrated spirit as born again, Bible believing Christians, saved by the grace of God, washed by the blood of Jesus, if we don't have a consecrated, dedicated, devoted heart for God, dearly beloved, who is going to? Nobody. Listen. Remember what I said? Not every church is the same.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people who are, quite frankly, they're not willing to go without the camp. They're not willing to go and bear some of the reproach of Jesus. They're not willing to go some out of their way, even if it means, you know, a little bit of scoffing and scorning. They're not willing to.
That's right.
And that's a shame.
Yeah.
And that weakens the body.
Yeah.
No, we're not talking about, listen, a perfect church. I didn't say perfect, I said a better church.
Right.
There's no such thing as a perfect church. If you find one, don't join it because you'll mess it up. You'll ruin it. Amen. There's no such thing as a perfect church. And there's no such thing as a perfect preacher or a perfect Christian or a perfect church member. But understand something, we can be better.
Amen.
We can be better. And that's what I'm talking about. And if we're going to be better, we're going to have to consecrate ourselves. We're going to have to come to a point where we say, you know what, I'm leaving this old filthy city of evil and sin behind. And I'm going to live with Jesus out here in this place of reproach.
Amen.
But if you walk with Christ, dear beloved, like you should, you're going to face reproach.
Right.
But it's okay because you keep your eyes on that city.
Amen.
On that city on the hillside. Amen. Glory to God. I got to hurry. Amen. Verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Verse 15. This is nothing more than continual praise. Not just in the song service, amen, but from the minute you wake up in the morning to the minute you go to lay your head at night. The Bible says, listen, it's a sacrifice though. What does that mean? That means, preacher, I don't always feel like I have anything to praise God about. I know. Well, that's when you ought to do it the most. Listen, imagine the church that lived like this. Imagine the people that fill this auditorium if this was our hearts. Amen. I know this is a long list. It's a lengthy report card, isn't it? Amen. Let's move on here quickly. Verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. Don't forget to communicate. What does that mean? For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. That means giving. Oh, amen. I'll say it for you. Amen. That means giving. Okay, communication doesn't mean the way we speak. It means to give, amen. We're giving. We're sacrificing what we have to give God the glory, amen. Communication, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, so that as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. This is careful submission. In other words, that's unprofitable for you, meaning you give your preacher a hard time, amen, listen to me, it's going to affect your judgment seat.
Yeah.
Okay. Amen. Amen. We'll get to that. I'm not preaching it yet. I'm just giving the introduction here, okay? We're going to have to move on. Amen. But that's what it says. It says, you obey them that have the rule over you, submit yourselves. That's something you have to do. They watch for your souls. The Word of God says that man of God is watching for your soul, praying for you, watching over you, and because I'm going to have to give an account. But the Bible says you can affect whether I can give an account with joy or not, not with grief. It says, if I have to give an account with grief, that's going to grieve me, listen, but it's going to reflect in your rewards at the judgment seat. The church, listen to me guys, the church is God's will. People who are not a part of a local church, they don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But praise God for a local church, amen, a New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church, amen. And then verses 18 through 25, he's some closing remarks, and we'll get to those. There's 13 different topics in chapter 13. Isn't that wonderful how God did that, amen? God did that. God's perfect. I love this precious book. I love the Savior. And looking now in verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. Ain't that great? Yeah. Brought him again from the dead. That great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Notice how he closes it. Make you perfect in every good work. To do what? His will.
Yeah.
His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus, that's the only way. Through Jesus Christ. To whom, what's that say? To whom be what? Glory forever and ever. And somebody say it with me. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I like the fact that God even says amen. Amen. So when I say it, it's not weird. So anyway, this chapter, this book, this entire book of Hebrews was written to individual exhortations with the purpose of making God's people who we need to be in order to make us perfect in good works, at doing God's will, pleasing God in His sight, glorifying Christ as a church body. Amen. Praise God. We've got a lot to cover, though, as you can tell. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for this book. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, God, for the Bible. Lord, as we look into chapter 13, it's going to take us a while to get through these. Oh, but Father, there's such a blessing to just see how interested you are in our lives, how involved you are, Lord God, in our walk with you. Lord, how we need to do your will, glorifying and pleasing you. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. I thank you for this church. I can't thank you enough, Lord God, for this church and your sweet spirit here in this church. And Lord, I know that we go through struggles.